Boker Tov, good morning to everybody. I have a prior announcement to make. There's a dedication for the shiur this morning. I'd like to announce that. It says the shiur this morning is dedicated to the memory of our great niece, Daniela Nechama Mofson, who died tragically at this time last year on the way back from a mission of Chesed to the people of Honduras. It is sponsored by Mark and Rachel Steiner. And therefore we dedicate this to the memory of Daniela Nechama Mofson. Please God, it should be an ilu neshama. And we're very grateful for the dedication. The topic for today's shiur is Tzar Bali Chaim. Last time we talked about vegetarianism and eating animals. Let's talk today about treating animals and how we deal with animals and the different sources for that and how we're meant to approach these issues. We make a lot of use of animals in today's society, not just for food but for other purposes as well. We need to see what are the lines, what are the guidelines, what are the issues here. For example, what do we think about shechita? I'm not going to have a long conversation about shechita, but shechita is always to some degree or other under pressure from different people. In some countries it's already banned, it always has been, maybe some countries will, some countries won't. Which methods of slaughter do other people use and how do we view shechita? And what about the circumstances in which we raise animals? We'll have a little conversation about veal, a little conversation about pâté de foie gras. I hope we don't make you too hungry this morning. Maybe the opposite, actually. But we'll have to talk about that a little bit as well. Using animals for cosmetic testing, etc. And killing pests. Obviously, you can kill pests, but the question is, what are the guidelines and where are the sources? So let's start from the beginning. There are many, many mitzvot in the Torah that deal with how we treat animals. And the question is, we have to get into the psychology, if we can, of those mitzvot, and see who they're aimed at. Are they aimed at the animals, to protect the animals, or are they aimed at us, to teach us how to be as people? So let's have a look at the first source. I've brought you 6 or 7 mitzvot in the Torah, all of which deal with these animal issues. Number one, Lo yitzireis chamor achicha, o shoro noflim baderech. If you see your friend, achicha is your brother. So that clearly is an important word. If you see that animal in trouble, it's dropping things all over the road. Clearly someone's in distress. He's in distress. The animal's in distress. And you think you're going to ignore them? No. Hakeim takim imo. You have to help them put everything back together. Again, not just leave them floundering in the street. This is the mitzvah of te'ina. Te'ina means loading up someone's animal. Clearly that is a chiyuv. The question is that a bein adam l'chaveiro? Are we really even bothered about the animal? Are we focused on the distress of the fellow Jew who is struggling on the load, on the way with his load, and maybe it's nothing to do with the animal. Maybe, in fact, on the contrary, the animal's probably quite happy to throw the load off. Maybe we're focused on the person. So from here alone, it's not totally clear. But the next mitzvah is a little clearer. If you look at number 2, there's a parallel mitzvah of not te'ina, but prika, unloading somebody's animal. Kisira chamor sonacha. Now it's not achicha, it's sonacha. Someone you hate. Or not hate necessarily, but reject. Somebody who's not achicha. If you see the animal of sonacha, rovet tachat masa'o, and it's crouching under its load, there's too much on the animal. The animal can't cope. V'chadalta ma'azovlo, and you think you're going to avoid helping him. The word azov here is an interesting word. It doesn't mean to leave him. It means to help him. Look at Rashi and the other portion there. If you think you can avoid helping him, no. Azov ta azovimo. You have to help them to unload the animal. So here, it's not so much of a bein adam l'chaveiro focus, because it's not even achicha, it's sonacha. Or maybe, on the contrary, you have to go out of your way to help someone, even if it's sonacha. We'll see that in the Rambam, because that gets over your yetzahara, that you don't want to help the guy. But clearly there's an animal angle here as well, because the animal is struggling, and you have to unload the animal. We'll see that in the Mephoshim too. Yes. Yes. 100%. Yes. Azov ta'azovimo is there's a mitzvah of prika and a mitzvah of te'ina. There is also, as is well known, a mitzvah to chase away the mother bird. Number 3, ki yikarev kan sipor lefanecha. Ki yikarev kan sipor lefanecha. When you have a bird in front of you, a nest of a bird, baderech, on the road, v'chole tuba'al ha'aretz, okay, or there is, or in any tree, or on the land, efrochim, or beitzim, and there are chicks or eggs that you want to take, and the mother is hovering, sheltering the chicks or the eggs, Lo tikach ha'em alabanim. Don't take the mother together with the eggs or the birds or the chicks. You have to chase away the mother bird. Right, while the mother is there. The question is, why? We'll see soon, a big discussion on this. Why do I have to chase away the mother bird? Am I worried about the bird? Do I bichlal know how birds feel? How would you feel if you were a bird? Is that a question you can even answer? We'll see. The Rambam gets into that discussion. Or is it focused on you? We'll talk about that in a minute. For now, we're just going through the mitzvah. In number four, there's a mitzvah, loy tacharosh bashor ubachamor yachdav. Don't plow with an ox and with a donkey which are fastened together. And here we need to get into a little bit of the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch engages in what I think today we would call animal psychology. People take their animals to psychologists today. Somebody actually asked me, we'll talk about this a little bit more next week, that their dog is, if they don't pet their dog on Shabbos, their dog gets depressed and cries. They're quite serious. The dog cries. It sits there and cries. And they're asking, therefore, is it mutter because of tsar bali chayim, because the dog is, you know, emotionally distressed, to move the dog if the dog is mutter? So we'll talk about that next week. So people take this animal psychology seriously. We'll see Sefer HaChinuch also does. Look at the top of here on source number 5. Shelo lachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. Don't use an ox and a donkey to plow together. V'huadim kol shnei mini behema. It's not just oxen and donkey, it's any two animals. She'achad hi tahora, va'achad hi tmeya, where one is a kosher and one is a trefa animal. The lav davke charisha, it's not only plowing. Levad asura, there's no only bad asura. Elohu adin kol malacha mea malachtas. You can't do any malacha with two different animals like this. Kagoin disha, such as threshing, or linshoch hagala, or to use it to pull a wagon. V'chal she'a malachot. You can't do anything with two animals together. And now he gives the reason, interesting. Mitami mitzvah zo. One of the reasons for this mitzvah is inyan tsar bali chayim shehu asur min haTorah, and we'll see that's a big discussion in the Gemara. He clearly rules tsar bali chayim is an issa Torah, one of the tariyag mitzvahs. And everybody knows that animals get very upset lishkon im she'ein al minam when they're put together with other species. They don't live with other species; they live with their own species. Certainly, they don't want to work with anyone of any other species. We see with our eyes, with animals out in the wild. Every bird lives with its own birds. It doesn't go living, sparrows don't go live with blackbirds. They keep to themselves. They always want to be with their own people. Then he adds a beautiful line. So you can learn from this, if you're in HR, if you're in human resources and you're hiring and firing people, says the Sefer HaChinuch, learn from this mitzvah. The kol chacham leiv, anyone who is intelligent will see from this, mizeh yikach mutzah. Shelo lemanot shnei anashim la'olam b'davak b'kol ha'davarim shiyu rechokein b'tiv'am. Never appoint two people to do a job together who are very different from each other. U'mashonim b'hanhagatam, who do things differently. Kamot tzaddik, v'rosha, you know, a rosha has his own way, and a tzaddik has his own way. V'hanikla v'hanichbad, someone who's very light-hearted, someone who's very serious. Don't mix these two things together. She'im hikpida ha'Torah al-tsar she'yesh b'zela balechayim, because if the Torah is already worried about animals, she'enam b'nei seichel, kol she'kem b'nei adam ha'she'lehem nefesh maskelet ledat yotzram. No. But of course, that also takes us a little bit away from the animals and makes us ask the question, well, what's this mitzvah really for? Is it for the animals? He seems to say it was, that the animals are upset. But then he says, well, really what we're learning from this is for you to be sensitive when you're putting different things together, that the things actually connect and you're not causing other people pain. So he seems to be talking about both these issues. It's the animal pain and the human insensitivity to that pain, which you have to apply all the more so when it comes to dealing with human beings. So that's a question we'll come back to. The next mitzvah, not only in terms of working, but loy tachsoim shor b'dishoy. Don't muzzle an ox when it has to do its work. Meaning you can't. One of the tariyag mitzvahs. You cannot put a muzzle on an ox when it's looking at all its food and it's doing threshing on the threshing floor. It has to be given that food to eat, because otherwise it's distressed. Well, we'll see. What's the otherwise? Listen to number 7. Again, the chinuch jumps in. And here he's not focused at all on the animal, really. The mitzvah is designed, he says, Lelamed atzmeinu. We have to teach ourselves. Lihiyot nafshenu nefesh yafa bocheret hayosher umadbeket bo harudefet acha chesed v'hakanya. So the purpose of this mitzvah is to teach the owners, teach us to be people who are constantly trying to do the right thing, hayosher, and searching all the time for the chesed and the chemla, to be kind, to be considerate. When we get ourselves, we train ourselves in this. Af ala behemoth, even with animals, shaloi nivru rak l'sham sheinu. Animals were only created to serve us, to use. And when we're kind to them, and when we give them a little bit of what they're working for, don't let them work and not get part of the game. Then the soul, the person's midas, will learn from this. You will learn to be kind to other people. To look after them. Don't bypass them. V'shum davar, in anything in life, sherui lehem v'leshalem tcharam, make sure you pay them properly, g'chala sheyasu tov, in all the good that they did, v'lehatfiyah ma'asheh yegubam, and give them appropriate recompense for their hard work, v'zeh derech ruya yelchu ba'am hakadosh hanivchar. This is how Jewish people should be. Kind, considerate, fair to their employees, etc. Here he seems to be steering us well away from the animals. Animals are made to serve, animals are made to work. The point here is, you've got to be a kind person. If you're not a kind person to your animals, what hope do you have to your humans? And therefore, he says, you have to learn from that. That's another myth. So again, steering maybe towards the people. There are a few more mitzvahs. Number 8, Shora Kesev, or Eiz, Kiva Leid, if a young animal is born, the Hayah Shivas Yamin Tachas Imoy, it has to be with its mother for 7 days, Umi Yom HaShmini, only from the 8th day, Vahalan onwards, Yiratel Korban Ishel Hashem. Again, it doesn't give a reason. Is that because of the mother? Is that because the animal will be distressed if it loses its babies? Is it less distressed after a week? Is it only small babies and after, I mean, some animals eat their babies? So again, we're getting into animal psychology. Do we know how animals care? Do they even care when they have children or not? So we'll see, we'll talk about that. Similarly, in number 9, Vashor Oseh Otov Ed Bono Lo Tishchatu B'yomecha. Don't shecht an animal and its child on the same day, which is a very interesting mitzvah as well. A lot of the mass extinctions which have taken place, where people have rode into the wildernesses and just killed thousands and thousands of animals, that would not be possible in halacha, because you're not allowed to kill an animal and its offspring on the same day. Again, is that because we have to have consideration for the species, or is that because it's distressing for the animal to lose its child on the same day? What if it doesn't know? And is it less distressing tomorrow? Again, we have to think about that. Number 10 is castration. We're not going to get into that in detail, but it talks about the idea of not castrating an animal. Is that anything to the animal or not? And then finally, number 11, Sheshet Yamim Tasem Asecha Shabbos. 6 days you have to work. Uba Yom HaShvi Tishvot. You have to rest on the seventh day. Why? Lemanya Nuach Shorav HaMorecha. Because, so that your animals will rest, your ox will rest, your donkeys will rest, v'yinafesh ben amatcha v'hager, and your servants will revitalize, and the people who live with you. But the animals also need a day off. It seems to be focused on the animals. And therefore, there are no shortage of mitzvahs in the Torah which focus us on the need for our animals. The Sefer HaChassidim adds one more. Yes. Yes.
Now, nowadays, to milk cows.
No, it's only about korbanos. It's only, yes, korbanos. Correct. Number 12, the Sefer HaChassidim has one last source. The Sefer HaChassidim, one of them is shown and written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, says, Kol ma'ase garmot she'adam gorem tsar lechaveiro. Anything that involves you being unkind to other people, a person being unkind to another person, ne'nash, they are punished for that. And even if they do unnecessary, we'll see what necessary is in a minute, pain to the animals, they put a burden on heavier than the animal can bear. The ani yuchola lelechat, and he can't go, umake ota, and he smacks it. He gives it a clap. Atid liten et adin, that person will give judgment in the future for having mistreated the animal. Sheharit tzar b'alechaim d'oraisa, because tzar b'alechaim is d'oraisa, and he brings from Bilam. Uksiv b'inyan Bilam. Look what it says about Bilam. It says al mashe kita es atonecha, because you hit your donkey. Ukineged sha'amaloyim, because Bilam said to the donkey, Yesh cherev biyadi, that if I had a sword in my hand, ki asa harakticha, I would kill you if I could. Therefore, lechein neherag b'cherev. That is why Bilam was killed by the sword, because he wielded a sword against his own animal.
He had the sword in his hand?
Yes. No, he said he had a stick in his hand. That's a good question. Bilam's dealing with a talking animal, so it's hard to know what the animal does understand. If you understand that the animal is talking, maybe it's in a nevuah, but the whole point is Bilam's losing it with his animal. It's obviously a very pathetic picture of Bilam, the man who thinks he can change the world with his prophecy, and he can't even make his donkey walk in the right direction. But he said, if I could kill you, I would kill you. And the question is, why do you speak like that to your donkey? Maybe it's nothing to do with the donkey. Maybe it's all about Bilam. Yes. Go on, please. He said we'll have to see if this is the source for this. But Levi Eshkol apparently said you have to allow politicians to steal. We're not making any comment on any public current affairs of any kind because you're not allowed to stop an ox from Muslim ox when it's dealing with its own. I suspect Levi Eshkol was being slightly tongue in cheek. maybe they can raise that one in court and see how it goes. Fine. So. Many mitzvot in the Torah. Let's address this question that I keep saying that we are going to look at, so let's look at that now. Are we focused on the animal or are we focused on the person? So looking at number 30, or both. Number 13. There's a Gemara in Brochus. Let's leave the Chumash and go into the Gemara. Number 13, page 3. Says the Mishnah, Ha'omer, if the Chazan, they used to have Chazanim who could make their own, extemporize and say their own words. They weren't fixed to a text. If the Chazan stands up and says, Al kan sipori yagiu rachamecha, your mercy even extends until the mother bird, meaning the Chazan is waxing lyrical, please have mercy on us just like you have mercy on the mother bird, Meshat kinoto, we shut him up, we tell him, stop, that you can't say, says the Mishnah. Why not? The Gemara gives two reasons. Al kan sipori yagiu rachamecha. My time, why can't we let him say this? Pligi betrei Amorai, the Ma'arava. Two Amoraim, two of the rabbis of the Talmud in the Ma'arava, in the West, in Eretz Israel, disagreed. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, the Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Two Rabbi Yossi. Chad Amar, one of them said, Mipnei shematel kina b'mased reishis. Because you are ascribing different rachamim to different creatures. On this bird, he's merciful, but on cows and sheep, who cares? You can't do that. This maybe is a reference to how it's about Hashkacha Pratis and Hashkacha Klalis and how God runs the world between these creatures or those creatures, etc. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't tell me that God is more merciful to this species than that species. You're talking nonsense. Maybe that's the reason. V'chad Amar, and one of them says no. You can't say because you don't know the reasons for any mitzvah. You think that God is kind because of this mitzvah? The Eina Ela Gzerot. It's just a gzeirah. You have no idea why God said to shoo away the mother bird. So why are you pretending that you know what God thinks? A lot of people, especially rabbis, seem to have very good insight into the way that God thinks in the world. Okay? Which is very surprising and a little bit distressing. But he says it's gzeirah. You have no clue what God is intending when he gives this mitzvah. And the Ramban picks up on this in number 14. V'chein mashe amru, when they said in the Gemara in Brochus, l'fisha oisim idosav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu racham in the Eina Ele gzeirah. Lima, what does that mean, says the Ramban? God is not being merciful to mother birds. He's not bothered about the animal and its child, that you can't kill them the same day. God doesn't care about animals, he says. God doesn't stop us from using animals for what we need. If God was so worried about animals, he wouldn't let us slaughter them. They presumably don't like that either. We'll talk about how we slaughter them soon. So it's nothing to do with animals. Aval tam hamenia lelamed otan. The reason for stopping us doing this is to teach us midat harachmanut. It's only focused on the person, says the Rambam. V'shaloi nitachsa. We mustn't be cruel people. Ki achzario titpashet v'nefesh adam. Because people can easily become cruel. We see this around us. It's completely nothing to do with the animal. It's on us. He's very clear. Don't you start thinking about what the animal knows. You don't know what the animal knows. I heard a discussion once on the radio about how factory animals are raised. And there was an animal rights activist saying, this is disgraceful, and one can understand many of the practices are. And he said to the other guy who was a farmer, how would you feel if you were a chick kept in a small cage and you couldn't open your arms and you couldn't do anything and you were in the dark for almost the whole day? How would you feel? So the guy answered him, I would feel suicidal. No question about it. But let me ask you a question. How would this chicken feel if it had to pay my mortgage at the end of the month? So he said, what do you mean? He said, what do you mean? He said, you have no clue what's going on in that chicken's head. No clue. Yes, you can anthropomorphize. You can say how you would feel if you were in that situation. But has that got anything to do with anything? And I thought that was a good point. It's not a justification for mistreating animals at all. Of course not. But it may have something to say about, you know, what do we think the animals think? And the Ramban says here, it's nothing to do with what the animals think. It's to do with us. We have to treat animals in a certain way. Otherwise, we become cruel people. The Rambam, Maimonides, completely disagrees. He is much more into the idea of ta'amei mitzvot, of understanding the reasons for the mitzvot. We talked a little bit about this in a previous shiur. There's an underlying hashkafic issue here as to whether we ascribe at all reasons for the mitzvot, or whether that takes us into dangerous territory. I'm not getting into that now. You know, why is pork not kosher? Is it because da-da-da-da-da, and therefore can you, you know, learn out from that different thing? Not getting into that now, but the Rambam and the Ramban have a very strong machlokas. The Rambam himself says in number 15, Im elu atzarim anavshim chasa Torah aleihim bebehemus, if God already is worried about the feelings of animals, of oifus and birds, kol shekem bebnei adam, all the more so people. The Leipzig Shalai, don't ask me a question, but Amram al Kanti po yagir rechamecha, that it doesn't it say in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, that you have to shut up the chazan that says, God, you're merciful. The Rambam has just gone through in Morin Evochim the reasons for the mitzvah. He says, God cares about animals. Ah, what about that Mishnah? It sounds like it's not that way. No. Ki hu lefi achat mishteh de otah sheh zichronam. Zacharnum, sorry. There are two reasons given in the Gemara there. Only one of those reasons is the one the Ramban focused on. Rotzon loma dat mi shechoshev she'ein tam haTorah ela rotzon avad. There is a view, I agree, says the Rambam, that we don't know the reasons for any mitzvahs. But there's a second reason, which is not that. V'anachnu nimshachnu acha adei ha'shniya. De'adat ha'sheni. Okay? We go after the second reason. He says, I don't follow that reason, the idea that the Ramban's saying that we never know the reasons for mitzvahs. I follow the second reason in the Gemara. That's why the Gemara brought a machlokas, because there is more than one way of looking at it. Therefore, the Rambam very, very clearly says you can know what the reason for the mitzvah is, and part of that reason really is the animal. Look at number 16. V'chein asur lishchot oto ve'et beno b'yom echad. Not killing an animal and its child on the same day. The Rambam gets into this. Lishamel laharchik lishchot mishneihem haben. Don't kill the child in the eyes of its mother. Because this is very upsetting for the animal. And then he says an astounding statement. Ein hefresh. There is no difference between tsar ha'adam, between emotional pain in humans. Okay? V'tsar shar b'nei bali chayim. There is no difference between human pain and animal pain. Ki avas ha'ein v'rachamim al avlad, because a mother's love for its child, okay, einu nimshach acha seichel, it's got nothing to do with your intellect, rak acha pal hakoach hamadama, it's about your imagination. A mother's love for their child is much more in the imaginative brain than in the rational brain. I think we often feel that and see that in the way that we think about, you know, our children, and we're worried for our children, and our worries are often not rational at all. It's part of our emotional being. Hanimsa b'roid balechaim. Most animals, okay, maybe not mollusks in the sea. I can't get into the psychology of a worm, but most animals are commotion nimsa b'adam, just like people in this respect. V'zeu tam gam kein b'shluach haken. This is the reason for chasing away the mother bird. U'kishe yishlach ha'aim v'teilech la lo titzta'er b'ra'ot likichat ha'banim. So that the mother will not be distressed when it sees that you've taken the child. And therefore the Rambam has a very different perspective and says you really can get into the mindset of the animal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim on the animals, and emotional pain is emotional pain. And anyone who's ever owned a pet, which in fairness I haven't, I only ever owned goldfish. My parents were not pet people, and I've not been a pet person since. But goldfish I have. And it's very hard to know what they're thinking. But I try. But if anyone who owns dogs especially, they're very emotional creatures in many times. The cats, you never know with cats whether you own them or they think they own you. They know it. But dogs, they cry, they're happy, etc., etc. And Chazal have a very famous Gemara about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which I brought at this point, number 17. Hahu Egla, there was a young calf, to have a kamamatul al shechita, which was being taken to be shechted. Azal, says the Gemara, it went, and it ran up to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and hid its head in Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's cloak, ukabachi, and cried, because it didn't want to be taken to slaughter. Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said to the cow, to the calf, zil, go, lekach notzarta. That's what you were made for. Okay? Amri, therefore, they said, hoil v'loy kamarachem, since he didn't have pity on this animal, leito aleho yisurim. That's why he had terrible yisurim at the end of his life. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi suffered terribly towards the end of his life, with different kinds of physical ailments. And because of something else that he did, his suffering went away. Yumachada, one day later on, have a kanashra amta the Rebbe's beta. His maid was sweeping in the house. There were some mice being swept up into the garbage. Ukanashalu, she was sweeping them away. Amala, he said to the maid, Shokinu, leave them be. Ksiv, because it says in Tehillim, Varachamav al Kolmasav. God has mercy on all his creatures. Amru, and they said from that, Hoyilu Marachem, since he recovered his mercy and his pity, Varachem Allah. They were merciful to him. Interesting, very interesting. Gemara. We'll see next week that Rav Yaakov Emden, in his classic way, has a different way of reading this than everybody else. He says it's all about Gilgulim. More about that next week. But on a surface level, it seems to be about kindness to animals, etc. A few words on Doraita and Darabonim. Is this a mitzvah Doraita Tzar Bala Chaim or not? We saw already, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid said, yes it is. And the Sefer HaChinuch said, yes it is. The Gemara seems to be a little bit ambivalent on this. The Gemara in here, number 18, Bava Metzia says, mitzvah min ha-Torah lifrog b'chinam, you have to unload a person's animal without taking money. But you don't have to load without taking, right? If you've got to stop and wait and spend time, and that time is valuable, time is money, you can charge them. Elabatzchai, you can charge the money, says the Gemara. Reb Shimon says, no. Aflitzan b'chinam, you have to also help them load without taking money for it. There's a debate between them. And to cut a long story short, there's an entire daf of Gemara back and forth on this issue. Rava says, midibrei shneim milmad, from both of those opinions we still see tzar balei chaim d'oraita. That they both think it's d'oraita. And then the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe they think it's d'rabbanon, d'oraita, d'rabbanon, d'oraita, d'rabbanon. They go back and forth. However, the Gemara in Shabbos seems clearly to say it's d'oraita, which is where we see the others coming from. Look at number 19. This is a Gemara we need to know because we're going to see this in a few minutes. Amarav Yehuda Amarav. Behema shenafla la'amat hamayim. You have a cow. And on Shabbos, your cow falls into a ditch. And the cow is lowing, mooing, and clearly unhappy. What can you do? Maybe karim v'kastas. You can bring pillows, blankets, something like that. Umeniach tachter. And you can put them under the cow, says the Gemara, to help the cow get out of the ditch. Interesting, you can't just schlep the cow out of the ditch, because the cow is muksa. But you can put things under the cow. The im alta alta, and if the cow gets out, it gets out. Ah, says the Gemara, the hakam avatl kli mehechano. How can you do that? You're making the pillows and the blankets muksa by putting them underneath something which is muksa, which itself is an issa d'rabbanon. You are not allowed to create something muksa on Shabbat. You're not allowed to make something muksa on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, no, because making something muksa or the rules of muksa are all rabbinic. Tzar Balei Chaim is d'oraisa. Tzar Balei Chaim is d'oraisa. V'asi d'oraisa v'dochi d'rabbanon. And the d'oraisa, which is clearly more important, Tzar Balei Chaim, will override the halachas of muksa in this situation. And there is a debate, yes. Yes, we'll talk about that next week. Yes. Oh, good. So you see already, Mr. Brewer asked this question, that even within the laws of Muksa, not all the laws are the same. The rabbi said yes here, but no there. Well, you can't learn, you can't extrapolate from one rabbinic law to another rabbinic law, because they all have their own rubric. And therefore you see some Muksa we are allowed to do, but some Muksa not. Good question, though. Good question.
The life of the animal, is that not an important thing to know?
Clearly, but muktzah is also an important thing, and the question is which overrides which. There is no heter to break Shabbos on a Torah level to save an animal life, for sure not. To save a human life, of course. But you would be allowed to break certain rabbinic laws in order to save animal lives. But not all, yes. Good, we're not going to talk about all of the dealing of Shabbos. You absolutely have to milk a cow on Shabbos, because otherwise the cow is in extreme pain. However, you can't milk the cow in the normal way, because that would be dash de'oraita. That would be, it's part of the laws of threshing, of taking something out of a container in which it's been absorbed. Okay? And therefore, milking a cow is a prohibition d'oraita. The Gemara passes that way. And therefore, milking you can't do to alleviate the pain in the normal way. So what they do is they milk the cow, but the milk goes to waste. Either they milk the cow into a bucket with some detergent there, and if the milk is going to waste, that downgrades it to a rabbinic law, and therefore the rabbinic law is overridden by the pain of the animal. Or they use some kind of milking machine, and it's a grommet system, that they put the milking machine onto the cow, and then the machine turns itself on afterwards. One of the differences between the Mahadrin Hechsher in Israel, the milchiks, and the non-Mahadrin Hechsher, is whether milk that was milked on Shabbos has made its way into the milk system. We had a long discussion with Rav Wittman from Tznuva many years ago, when we were bemoaning the fact that we weren't able to get salted butter with a Mahadrin Hechsher. We're keen on our salted butter, not too keen, because it's not good for your heart, maybe. But all the salted butter didn't have a Mahadrin Hechsher. And Rav Wittman told us that's because there's a possibility that production line may have a little milk in it, which was milked on Shabbos by non-religious kibbutzim, etc. Therefore, they can't give it a Mahadrin Hechsher, but he said, it's fine, don't worry, it's a bottle of shishim, and enjoy your salted butter, and so we have our salted butter. Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked by Hilchos Shabbos questions. Let's go on, we have a lot of sources to do. There is a debate in the Rishonim whether it's the Rabbanon or Doraisa. Bottom line, you can look at the sources later, it looks like this will be a din d'oraita. The Shulchan Aruch clearly passes the halacha of the cow, that you're allowed to break the halacha of muktzah in order to alleviate pain to an animal. He clearly passes that, and so too the Ramah passes in number 21 that even if it's a cow that is owned by a non-Jewish person, that you might not have extra dinim of bein adam l'chavero. He said it's not just about the person, it's about the animal. Therefore, you're allowed to unload an animal, not talk about Shabbos there, even if it's only the animal in pain. By the way, one of the nafka minas of this muktzah law is if your fish, I'm a fish owner as I mentioned, if your goldfish jumps out of its bowl on Shabbos and lands plop on the floor, are you allowed to pick it up, muktzah, and put it back in the bowl or not? And again, if you extrapolate that law of muktzah of the cow to other things as well, you'll say yes, you can. Chazon Ish says yes, you can. Other people say you can't, but I'm not getting into all of that now. I think it's a Chazon Ish. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's a Chazon Ish. Okay. Now, let's look briefly at a tshuva of Rav Avadi Yosef, who brings in a couple of other issues. Clearly, causing pain unnecessarily to animals is not acceptable. Look for a second at the Sefer HaChassidim in number 22, and then we'll see Rav Avadia. Af im asat tzar lo behema v'chinam. If you inflict unnecessary pain on an animal, k'moy shematam alem amasa yotem mikdeh haroi, we saw that before, he repeats it here, you put on a load which you can't bear, u'makas, and then you hit it, v'hi einu yichol alechet ba, ladin im shetzir belechaim, because you're causing pain to animals, v'chein hamoshchim odnei chatulim. People who pull the ears of cats, the hashmir tzakatam, to make them scream. Heim chotim. These people are wicked. They're sinners, he says. But gam darshu chachanim, because they learn from a posik, v'yom hahu ne'um Hashem, posik in Zechariah. On that day, says God, akeh kol sus b'timahon, the horses will go mad. I will make the horses go mad. V'rochbo b'shigayon, and the riders go crazy. And Chazal learned from this, atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu li parah. El bon susim, God will avenge the upset of the horses, mirochvehem, from the people that rode them, al shehiko otam b'magapai, because they kicked them too much with their boots, shekorim, which we call sporni, which I think means spurs. Okay? Therefore he says, if you kick your horse too much, there'll be din v'cheshbon on that. And therefore you can't harm your animal. And unsurprisingly, Rav Avadia, when given a tshuva, are you allowed to go to a bullfight? He clearly says absolutely not. Number 24, Shaila. Ha'im muta mitzad halacha lalechad le'itstadion lechazot v'milchemet hashvarim. Are you allowed to go see a bullfight? And he says, Tshuva, hine ein safik ke'etzem inyil milchomot hashvarim hu benigud gomor l'ruach toratenu. It is completely against our Torah. Shehu tarbut anashim chot'im. It's a wicked way of treating the animals. V'achsarim, and these people are cruel. Ashalo ke'elu chalak Yaakov. Chalak Yaakov, we're not like that. As Chazal say, Shalosh Midas Yesh B'Yisrael, Baishanim, Rachmanim, Begom Lechassadim. You can tell who's a Jew by how they act. They're meant to be Baishanim, they're meant to be, to have humility and mercy, and they're meant to do kindness. And he goes on and he brings that Min HaTorah, you're not allowed to be unkind to animals. He brings the example of the cow, etc. And at the end, in the second paragraph, he says, a din that we'll see more next week. Look in the second paragraph, about five lines from the bottom. Even with starim et hashor, they starve the ox and they drive it crazy. Before they breed in the stadium, the achakach matagrim boy, the dokrim, so they pierce it and they hurt it, but klizayin with spears. Kedeshi shtolel, so that it goes crazy. Vikpot lenegach bekrav, and he wants to gore people. The ilu rabbi senu, but our rabbis asru la'adam le'echol lifnei shi'itin lifnei behem to le'echol. You're not even allowed to eat before you give your heima to eat. Kavavar b'brochas, and he brings the Gemara there. Samchu al mashin emav, and atati esev v'sadcha lifentecha. In the Shema, we see that God gives food to the animals. Va'oni achakach va'achalta v'savata. We have to feed our animals, and we'll see next week whether that applies to Raisa, Drabonon, in all cases, etc. Certainly not, God forbid, to cause them distress in the way that it's done, and therefore he says you can't go to a bullfight. I once had a question, I never got to do it because I never got the time. What about going to a rodeo? A rodeo. I was just on the border of, where is it, Wyoming. And I had an opportunity to go to a rodeo, and I would think to myself, like, I'm not sure exactly what they do at a rodeo. It's certainly not like a bullfight, but they don't kill the animals. But the question is it just a show? Is it a circus? Anyway, I didn't get to the rodeo in the end because I was stuck in Denver, but it's next time I need to go. I don't think it's really a shy lie. I don't think there's a problem going to a rodeo, but I'm not American, so I don't really know. Sarabali Cowboys. Okay, fine. Let's go on a little bit. So what can we use animals for? Let's talk about that for 10-15 minutes. We clearly are not the same as animals. We talked about that last week. In number 25, God gives Adam and Chava rights to rule over the animals. Number 25, Vayomer Elokim, Nase Adam et Talmeinu Kidmoseinu, Vayirdu B'digat Hayam. He will subdue the fish of the sea, Ba'ofa Shamayim, Vehema, and all the animals, V'chol Ha'aretz, V'chol Ha'remes, Ha'romes Al Ha'aretz. And the whole land. God says to them, Pru Ravu, Milu et ha'aretz, v'kiv shuha. Fill up the world and dominate it, subordinate it, conquer it. Conquer the world. And therefore, kibush. And therefore, we don't have to feel a sense of inappropriateness that we rule over the animal kingdom. The Rashi says, like we saw last week in number 26, Yirdu Begatayam, Yesh Beloshen Azeh Loshen Ridui, Beloshen Yirida. There is a double language in the Yirdu, that you will subdue them, but you may go down, you may be suffer a Yirida. Zacha, because if you merit it, Rodi Bechayas Obehemoth. You will be a real person, and you can rule over the animals. But Nasi Yirud Lifnehem, but if you behave like an animal, Loi Zacha, Nasi Yirud Lifnehem V'Hachayim Moshered Bo. The animals will rule over you, maybe the animalistic will rule over us, and like we saw last week, we only have rights to kill animals and eat them if we're not also animals, and I think Rashi is reflecting that point as well. And we have a duty, not only to use the world, but to preserve it. Number 27, Vayikach Hashem Elokim Et Adam, V'Nechem B'Gan Eden. God places Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, La'avdo Ulashamra. We can work the garden. We can use the garden. We can have mastery over the world, but the Shamra. But we can't abuse the world. And we can't misuse the world in a way which ruins it. There's a whole ecology discussion that comes out of that posik, which is not happening now. So what can we do to animals? Well, we can kill them. But how can we kill them? Number 28. Toiv Hashem l'kol v'rachamav al kol ma'asa. God is merciful to all creatures, should we be? So the Yaivas, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, has an interesting discussion about pests. And he says the following. You have to look in number 29. V'had etzar balechayim doraisa. So balechayim, the tzar balechayim is doraisa. Inu chlal oiva l'kol ashen nishmad ruachayim v'apal. Does that apply to everything which is alive? What about plants? The plants mind when you pull them out of the ground, they're also alive. What about worms? Gadol v'katan. Afilu shkatsim v'ramasim. What if you want to step on an ant? Is that a problem? Of course, he said, I'm not talking about if they're dangerous, if they're poisonous. Even on Shabbos, you can kill animals which are life-threatening and dangerous. That I'm not talking about. I'm just talking about, Sam, if you have a spider in the house, what should you do? Should you pick it up gently, pop it out of the window, or should you just squash it in a piece of tissue? So he says, Shilshul Katan, Sheva Yam, what about little worms in the sea? Is that included? And he says, no, v'yira she'enu be'emet ela b'balechayim d'b'nei malacha. Tzar balechayim, he says, doesn't apply to insects. It only applies to higher level life forms that are things that work with us. Because again, maybe he's focused on the way we relate to them as our own midas. Okay? Kinyana dekrai kasev, as it says, v'behema hanoset masai. It's talking about an animal carrying a load. V'efshasha afilu kelev, maybe dogs, also included. Chatul. Cats include, by the way, dogs are referred to all over Tanakh. Cats are never referred to in Tanakh. There's no mention of cats in Tanakh. Bechlav. Lefish gam heima b'nei tarbut. Dogs and cats are also somehow, not cultivated, tamed in that way. Domesticated, that's right. V'vali malacha, because they also do work for us, as we see. Le'inyin le'hiktim lahem la'achil l'kabahim. We have to feed them first. Havala katanim, tiny little animals, she'en ru'im l'malacha adam, we don't use them for anything. Loimi boys vuvim, I'm not even talking about flies, upirushim and fleas, the shashkotsim and other creepy crawlers, the masi that are disgusting, the gam yesh behem chashash michshal, and also they cause trouble, the sakana, maybe even danger, but salib ne'avadam, of course, the leislan ba, mamash is no problem at all, the shakudam and the kathlinu, don't worry about killing flies and fleas, kill them if you need. And the badai kol hanidamon, certainly that includes. But he says, any smaller level animals, you don't really need to be worried about tzar bali chayim with those animals. And certainly not fleas as well. But then he says, that on the last line, the afal pisha ha'arizal, but the arizal on a mystical level, said, min midat ha'chassidut, va'al pi ha'sov, on a Kabbalistic level, u'dvarim bagavan, there's something in this, he says, mishum gilgul. You never know when there's a gilgul. He said, "Sivul Talmidav." He commanded his Talmidim, "Shelol Harog Afilu Kina," not to kill even a louse, even life, because you never know. You never know who's a Gilgul of whom. So he brings that in, and he says that on a certain level, maybe you shouldn't kill anything. On a personal level, I personally don't feel that I don't like to kill anything if I don't have to. If it's dangerous, then you have to. Not because of Gilgulim, but because I just feel like, who am I to end the life of an insect, even if it's only an insect, if there's no need to do so. But other people feel less compulsion, and maybe they have on whom to rely, unless they want to be Kabbalistic. And now you'll be wondering every time you see anything, who's a Gilgul of what? There's a famous story of Amir Yeshiva, that one of the Mashkiach was giving a shir decades ago, and he was sitting at the front of the shtender, and a little bird came in and landed on the shtender and looked at him like this the whole way through the shir, and he gave the shir, stood there, everyone was looking at this little bird, didn't move, and then at the end of the shir, the bird got up, flew off down the window. So they ran up to him and they said, "Efshir a Gilgul," to which he answered, "Efshir a Fagel." Maybe it's a bird, Efshir a Fagel. So maybe we should. Maybe he was the Litvak, so that's the way the Litvak is. What about killing animals for food? Clearly, we're allowed to kill animals for food. It would be ridiculous to suggest that a mitzvah in the Torah on which we say, "Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu on shechita," we say that God made us Kaddish by commanding us to do Shechita, it would be ridiculous to suggest that there was something wrong, immoral, or inhumane about doing something which God tells us is a mitzvah and actually makes us Kaddish. But nevertheless, we have to do it in the best way that we can. Number 31, let's learn a few sources on this. The Torah's ways are meant to be pleasant, are meant to be teaching us good behavior. And the Rambam brings, when he says you're allowed to break Shabbos in order to save life, number 32, the Torah didn't come to be nekama, to cruel, vengeful in the world. The Torah is meant to be coming to teach us rachamim, chesed, and shalom, and in that same sense we have a mitzvah to be like God. We see that God has the kindness, rachamav, akol ma'asav. We too have a mitzvah of the halachta b'drachav. There's a mitzvah doraita to copy God. Number 33, achrei Hashem Elokeichim telechu. Zod rachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum v'chanun af ata hayei kei. So we have to be that way. And therefore the Sefer HaChinuch understands that Shechita is a command to inflict the least pain that we can on animals when we kill them. Number 34, he says, V'oid ne'ma, says the Chinuch, b'tam ha-shechita, min ha-tzavar, u'b'sakin baduk, it's dafka on the neck to sever the artery very quickly, and also with a knife that's very sharp, k'dei sh'loi n'tza'er ba'lechayim yoter midai. Don't inflict any more pain than we have to on animals. Ki ha-Torah hitiran la'adam l'ma'alato li'zun, mehem l'kol tzorachach, we're allowed to use animals, v'lo l'tzaran chinam, but not to pain them. Ukfar dibarnu, we've already dibru chachamim, the rabbis already spoken on this. Issa tzar melechaim, v'helu lefi hadome she'asur, again he says midoraita. The shechita debate runs on, and I brought you a link to an interesting website that I'm a little bit familiar with because it's from England, shechitauk.org, and I brought you on the bottom there, on the website, it tells you how non-shechted animals are killed. And if you think that there is a humane way to kill animals en masse, which is not shechita, then you can look at how they actually do it. And you won't want to eat breakfast afterwards. Because there is no humane way to kill animals in the outside world. And I'm not getting into how they do it. You can read, I bought it in the notes. And therefore, I think we have to fight very hard on shechita. And it's a fight that continues. The note of Yehuda, however, came in and said that hunting? No. There is no justification for hunting. Maybe, he says, he has a tshuva, if it's your parnosa and you have to sell the animals or eat the animals, I hear that. But hunting for fun? He says the only people who were hunters in the Torah, Nimrod, Esav, and other people who are the heroes of Torah in the Midrashim. There's a shaila about fishing, by the way. Fishing as a sport. Obviously fishing to eat the fish is fine. How else are you going to get the fish? You should go to the supermarket, I suppose, but fishing is also a way. But fishing for sport, where you hook the fish, you bring them in, and then you throw them back. The poskim are divided on a certain level. Well, I don't know, a fish, is tzar bali chayim, does it apply to fish? Maybe, because fish are part of human use. But on the other hand, what does a fish think when he gets hooked? No idea. But I wouldn't feel good, but again, is that relevant? So there are poskim who are unhappy about fishing as a sport, only for the purposes of eating the fish. Let's end with a couple of other issues, and we'll finish off. The Rama has a fascinating piece in number 36. We make shehechiyanu on new clothing. What if an animal had to die to make our new clothing? Leather. You wear buy a nice leather coat. What about a fur coat, if you dare wear a fur coat anywhere, okay? Number 36. Yesh mi shekasa. There are those who write, say, he says in Shulchan Aruch, there are those who write, she'ein loy makein alamanalim. Don't make shechiyanu on shoes, which is the minhag. People don't make shechiyanu on shoes, even though shoes can be very pricey. Or begadim hanasim mi'orot shel behema. Or any other leather clothing. De'im kein hayutzrichim lehamit behema acheret tchila. You have to kill an animal. So you have to kill animals to get these clothing. Why do that? Just shear a sheep. The sheep's happy afterwards and wear wool. Why do you have to wear leather? And it says, he said, people say this. I think it's ridiculous, he says. It's very weak. The Einu Nira, and I don't think it's right. But he says many people just don't say Shefianu on leather clothes because they say Nebuch, an animal has to die. He thinks it's a bit ridiculous, but that's what people do. Someone wants to ask me, what about a silk tie? You know, how many worms, silkworms, have to die to kill my son? Now look, the Rav Yaakov Emden would say, look, don't worry about the silkworms. There's no Tzar Bali Chaim on silkworms. But nevertheless, the thought applies. In terms of health and cosmetics, look at number 37. The Ramah in Evan HaEdah says, Kol davar hatzarech l'rufu'ah, anything you need for human health purposes, or l'shar dvarim, or any other purposes, Leit beimishum itzabal tzar balechaim. There is no problem tzar balechaim if it's for refuah. V'lechein mutzel emrut notzot me'avazot chayot. Therefore, you can pull feathers out of geese for quills, pheasants. Avazot, and avaz is pheasants, geese, whatever. You want to use a quill pen? You pluck a feather out of the geese. V'leit kelamichus, you don't have to be worried mishum tzar balechaim. Mikol makom, because there's a need. You need a feather, but you need to write with it. Mikol makom ha'olam nimnaim dehavi hachzaris. But people don't like to do that, he says, because it's cruel. Therefore, even though you're allowed to do what you need to do for human purposes to use animals, for refuah, and that might, it seems, include even cosmetics, nevertheless, he says, you have to be conscious of how cruel is it, and how much you really need it. And I brought you a tshuva from Rav Yaakov Reisha. There's a big sheet, you can read some of the sources afterwards, which talks about Tzar Bali Chaim and Baal Tashchis for animal experimentation. He says there are certain experiments we need to do on animals to see how illnesses progress in humans. This is already 300 years ago. Sometimes we have to feed animals food which is not good for them and see how their metabolism reacts so that we know how that works with humans. He says that is permitted. Even for commercial purposes, you're allowed to do that. But he very much says that you can't treat an animal any worse than you absolutely have to. And you can't ever inflict unnecessary pain. And therefore you end up with a question of what's necessary and what's not necessary. In order to find cures for illnesses, clearly there is no halachic shaila that is completely allowed. In order to test shampoos to see if they make animals blind or not, so God forbid people should go blind. Better we should know that they don't make people blind, but then you have to ask, do we need any more shampoos in the world? Or do we have enough shampoo already in the world? I can't answer that question. The people who make shampoo clearly feel that we don't have enough shampoo in the world because they want to make money out of shampoo. Therefore, we have to make more animals blind in order to make sure that it doesn't make the people blind, God forbid. But that's a good question as to how that works. In number 39, he has a tshuva that deals with a certain practice in France where they used to cut the skin of the animal before they did the shechita because it made it easier to do the shechita. So they used to cut through the animal's skin, and then afterwards they do the shechita. And he says, this is unacceptable. You can't do this. It makes it easier in some way for you to do the shechita. There's no heter to do that. Look in the third line. At the end, he talks about this. He says, I know that, Ramah, that you said that we can use animals for whatever we need, for refuah, etc. Mikol makom, he says at the end of the third line, Nira lefi pashut, it seems to be, Nira lefi pashut. It seems clear to me. Only if it's a normal, regular thing. Like pulling feathers. Everyone needs a feather pen back in the day. A quill. And therefore that's reasonable. But slitting the skin of the animal for no good purpose? You don't need to do that. Don't do that. And anything like the quills is okay. If it's something that's not common. Vadai asur. That's certainly asur. Vishum tzar bali chayim. If you're only getting a small benefit, we certainly can't do that. And therefore you have to weigh the benefit to the people versus the pain to the animals and how you know we inflict that pain. That's a very relevant point, and it's not an easy balance to make. Let's finish off in the last 3 minutes with veal and foie gras. When it comes to veal, there is a famous tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Veal, as many people are aware, can be kept in very notoriously, the calves can be kept in very cruel situations, confined into very small pens. They're trying to create a piece of meat which has a certain texture and a certain appearance, and in order to do that, they treat the animals often very cruelly. They're anemic, they're dehydrated, and they're killed very early on in life. They hardly see the light of day. And Rav Moshe says, let's read this one in English in number 40. On the current issue of fattening calves, where each calf is kept in a separate tight location where they do not even have room to move a few steps, where they do not feed them normal animal food suitable for calves, nor can they drink their own mother's milk. They don't let them do anything. Rather, they are overfed with high-fat liquids which are not good for them, and they become ill from this and need treatment. According to expert Shochtim, only 15% of them are halachically kosher.
Wow.
Just in terms of the halachas of kashrut, most of them are treifas. They're so badly treated because they're sick inside. Those people who engage in this practice, says Rav Moshe, are definitely violating the prohibition of causing cruelty to animals. Even though animals are permitted for human use, we saw that, this is only where there is a need, such as slaughter for food, working them for ploughing, carrying, such like. Nevertheless, to simply cause them distress is prohibited, even if a person may benefit from it. Benefit is not the key. It has to weigh the loss. We see indeed that a person is not allowed to do everything which distresses an animal, even if it yields benefit, but only something which is for real human benefit, like slaughtering, working. Similarly, it is permitted to feed them with foods which help to fatten and improve the taste of the meat. You don't have to have bad quality meat in such a way that will benefit people who will eat it, who will enjoy it more than when it was unimproved. Yes, you can improve the animal, fatten up the animal by all means. Nevertheless, it is prohibited to cause pain to the animal and feed it things which are not good for it and which distress it when it eats them or which makes them suffer from illnesses. For a benefit such as this, it is prohibited to do such things because of the prohibition of cruelty to animals, which is min hatorah. He doesn't go so far as to say that you're not allowed to eat the meat. I mean, obviously, if the meat's trafe because the animal's sick, then obviously you're not allowed to eat the meat.
Yeah.
But if the meat's kosher, he doesn't say that it's morally imperative, therefore, to ban veal. However, he says that clearly you have to think very carefully about this, because what the people are doing when they raise the calves is clearly asur min haTorah, and maybe on a certain level there's a litnei iver. You're encouraging them to do that. Although, halachically, it's probably too far removed to the consumer when you're eating the veal to be a real litnei iver. Yes. Well, Gentiles, that's an interesting question which we didn't get into here, but Gentiles also prohibited in Eva Minachai. That's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And therefore, that's part of this whole discussion as well. Let's finish off with foie gras. Foie gras is a delicacy, especially in France, especially in Périgord, where they're into the foie gras. And there's lots of kosher foie gras. You go around the shops of Paris, you can pick up your kosher foie gras. And the question is that okay or is it not okay? So how do they make foie gras? Foie gras is where the liver of the goose has been enlarged abnormally because they force feed the geese. They put a tube into their mouth and they force feed them food down into their esophagus. And many times again it makes them not kosher because it damages their esophagus as well. But the question is, you know, is that morally, halachically, hashkafically, even if the animal is kosher, is it okay? So the Ramah already talks about foie gras 500 years ago. It's been around a long time, thousands of years. Key number 41. Says the Ramah in Yoredeh, V'chein nagu lahakel be'ireinu. Our minag in Krakow, he says, is to be lenient. But oisan, with those people, v'oisan avazot, okay, those geese, shemal'itim, which they force feed them la'asot mehen shuman, to make them very fat. Because we have special safeguards in place in terms of kashrus to check that the animals, that the birds are not damaged by the force feeding. Because they often get damaged esophaguses and trachea in order when they're force feeding them. So he says, don't worry, we've checked on the kashrus. So our minag is to allow this. He doesn't make a mention of the Tzar Bali Chaim angle, but Rav Avadia does. And let's finish with Rav Avadia because it's a beautiful piece and it's a note on which to finish. Lachain, he's dealing with the chief rabbi of Paris who asked him a shaila, can I give a kashrus hechsher to restaurants that serve foie gras because of the way that the geese are treated? And Rav Avadia says, no, don't give the hechsher. Number 42. He says, you're like, he praises this guy, you're like a gibor. You want to stop kosher restaurants, the Paris, in Paris, the Kabel Moitre Basar Minha Avazot, to receive this food from these geese, Asher Halitu, Otam Ba'aretz, which they have force fed them. So as not to encourage those people who practice cruelty, klapei balechaim, leman bitzua betza, just in order to make money. You can't be cruel to animals to make money in this way. And how great is the reward of those people who have this sensitivity. And therefore what comes out very clearly from the sheep is that, well, yes, we don't have to be embarrassed about ruling over the animal world or using the animal world. We certainly cannot abuse it. And what clearly comes out of this is an imperative on the Jewish people to be kind, to be considerate, to be sensitive, certainly to human beings. One of the responses, I think, to some of the awful things that have happened in the Jewish people, including recently in this week, is that we see around us the way that people behave to human beings. And one of the responses to that is to say that that is not our way. We don't behave this way to anybody, and not even to animals, and that is the Jewish way that we believe in life and rachamim, and be'ezrat Hashem we should have a schus for behaving in that way. Next week, please God, pets in halacha, many issues to do with pets, on Shabbos, in feeding, on Pesach, and all sorts of things. That will be the end of our series. We will carry on then.